A moment, turn with me to the book of 2 Timothy, which is just past 1 Timothy, to help you, all right? 2 Timothy chapter 1. I want to say a very happy Mother's Day to all of you moms, and it's a special delight for me this weekend. Our daughters, Stephanie and Jennifer, are here from Seattle for the weekend with us, and so got a lot of joy going on in our household today. Yeah, did you know that there's a show on Netflix called Super Why? Anybody know that? Yeah, I was watching that at 6 this morning with my grandson. Yes. Hey, I want to say a big thank you to all of our volunteers who've been working for the last few weeks out in the foyer. We're about 3 weeks into this. We didn't get completely done for today. That was our goal, but we're about 80% done. And needless to say, a lot of volunteer hours. And especially, I got to say, if you happen to see Barry Dale, Barry put in so many hours the last 2 weeks out there, and I mean working hard. So say a big thank you to Barry and a big thank you to all of our volunteers that work so hard in the four-year remodel. So let's just say thank you to our volunteers today. Thank you so much. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 3. I thank God whom I serve, as my ancestors did with a clear conscience, as night and day, I constantly remember you in my prayers, recalling your tears. I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. Now, this book of 2 Timothy is a very personal letter. Most of the letters that we have in the New Testament were written to groups of people. But we have a few letters that were written to individuals. And in this case, Timothy was a pastor. He was the pastor of the church of Ephesus, and Paul was his mentor. Paul had walked with him and trained him in the ministry. But Paul recognized something. Paul recognized that long before he came upon the scene and took Timothy under his wing, Timothy had a grandmother and a mother that loved the Lord and that passed the faith that they had down to Timothy. And so Paul is recognizing here the value, the importance of godly parenting. Godly parenting. And I know moms, sometimes I just kind of feel like that being a mom is one of the most hardworking jobs there is in the world, and one of the jobs you get the least thanks for. And so today, the least we can do is say thank you to you. And in case you're wondering if anything you've done has made a difference, I want you to know it has. And we've got a brief video that we want to show you this morning that's just kind of a reminder to you that what you're doing means more than you may think. Yeah. So thank God for born again, spirit filled, on fire, devil chasing moms and grandmas. Amen? Yes. So this morning, I want to share with not only moms and grandmas, the message this morning is also going to apply to fathers and grandfathers and aunts and uncles and spiritual aunts and uncles, because I want to share about the environment, a God-ordained environment for raising up children that are healthy in their relationship with the Lord. You know, it's kind of a paradox when it comes to Christian parenting. And here it is, the Christian parent's paradox. On the one hand, salvation is a non-transferable gift from God. So on the one hand, salvation is a decision we all make individually, and even though we would love to, as parents, be able to get saved for our kids, we can't do that. It's a gift from God, and it's non-transferable, and it's a decision that at some point in their life they need to make for themselves, and it's not a decision that we can make for them. So on the one hand, salvation is a non-transferable gift from God. On the other hand, Aside from the Holy Spirit, there is no greater influence in a young person's life than that of their parents. So on the one hand, salvation is a gift from God. We can't do anything about that. On the other hand, there's multiple times throughout the scriptures that talk about the importance of parenting and God giving instructions to us as parents that there's a way to do this. So it's kind of a paradox. So I was thinking about how can I illustrate this? What would I compare this to? And what I thought of, what I came up with, I don't know if it's a perfect illustration, but it's the one I came up with today for today, is it's kind of like being a gardener or kind of like being a farmer that we go and we prepare the soil and we plant the seed and all of that, but really we have nothing to do with giving a plant life, right? Only God can do that. A farmer can't give a plant life. A farmer's job is to give that seed every opportunity that he can to make sure that that seed is healthy and strong. And so I want to start with this starting point today, and the starting point is this. We must be convinced that our children's relationship with the Lord is the most important thing about them. I mean, we've got to start right there. You got to know in your heart that's the most important thing. Parenting is so complicated and challenging. Most of us, it doesn't happen this way all the time, but most of us, our children came along shortly after we were married, right? And so here we are, we're adjusting to marriage like this. I'm committed my life to this person, and now I'm adjusting to this relationship, and I'm trying to figure this out, and we kind of make a few steps toward figuring out this relationship, and then all of a sudden, here comes the kids. And now we got this whole other thing we've got to figure out together. So we know, obviously, well, I got to nurture and protect and provide for this child, even when they're just tiny little babies. And then as they grow more, we have to provide some instruction and guidance and discipline. And we learn that every child is different. They all have a unique personality and temperament. And then we start worrying about their education. You know, we want to make sure they know how to read and they learn some life skills. And then they start to develop different skills of their own and interests that they have. And after a while, you just feel like a juggler, right? Like I'm trying to manage like school and sports and church and doctor's appointments and washing clothes and taking care of the house and driving, and you just feel like you're, you know, a juggler trying to keep 10 plates up in the air at the same time. And it can be so exhausting. But can we say today that the most important thing in all of those things is your child's relationship with the Lord, right? That is, I mean, if you fail at everything else, which I don't want you to, don't get this wrong. Our kids all have different things. They have different interests they get involved in musically. By the way, I will say this. If you ever had a child that they took up the violin as a young person, God bless you. God bless you. Now, I got to say, Jennifer plays the violin. I love it. I love it now when she plays the violin. In seventh grade, not so much. Not so much. I used to, all of my life, I was taught that there was no such thing as purgatory. And then I went to my first middle school orchestra concert. And I realized they had lied to me. Purgatory is real. It's real. And I think there's a special place. I know there's a special place in heaven for anybody who has gone to middle school orchestra concerts. Anybody else here? You're going to have a special, like you're going to have an extra large mansion in heaven. And someone's going to come to an angel and say, hey, why did Tim get a bigger mansion than me? And the angel's just going to look at this guy and say, middle school orchestra concerts. And the guy's going to get it. He'll be, oh, okay, yeah, I'm fine with that. Yeah, but can we say today that the most important thing about our children is not how well they kick a soccer ball or hit a baseball or dribble a basketball or spike a volleyball? The most important thing about our children is not how many scholarships they get or how many universities they get accepted to. Because none of that, they're all great, but none of that makes a lick of difference without Jesus. right? None of it matters a bit without the Lord. We must be convinced that our child's relationship with the Lord is the most important thing about them. So then getting back to this paradox, this parenting paradox, like if I can't make that decision for my child, but I have an influence on them, then how does that work? What do I do? So let's talk about planting the garden. Planting the garden. I can't give my child life, but I can. I can't give them spiritual life, but I can give them every opportunity to know the Lord and to have a relationship with Him. So, here's the thing. We need to prepare the soil, plant the seed, protect the plant, and provide the water. That's our job. Prepare the soil, plant the seed, protect the plant, and provide the water. Everybody say it with me. Prepare the soil. Plant the seed. Protect the plant. And provide the water. That's our job. So let's start with this. Preparing the soil. The condition of the soil is vitally important to the future success of the seed. And there's an environment that has to be created that is conducive to life. And parents, we are responsible for creating an environment in our home that is conducive to life. It's not enough to just bring our kids to church and hope that they get it. Because if they're seeing one thing at church and something else at home, it leads to spiritual confusion, right? Like, wow, mom and dad act this way, they talk this way when they're with their church friends, and then at home, it's totally different. Listen, God does not require us as parents to be perfect, but He does require that we're sincere. Amen? He does require sincerity. In fact, getting back to the text that we read this morning where Paul writes to Timothy about his sincere faith, I trust that you have a sincere faith. The word sincere there in the Greek literally means without hypocrisy, without hypocrisy. In other words, you're not one way with your church and then another way at work or another way at home. It needs to be sincere. It kind of reminds me of how many of you old people like me remember film camera? Film cameras, remember that? Right? Okay, before the digital age, we had to put film in our cameras. And one of the things that would happen sometimes with film camera is sometimes if you weren't careful, you would get what we called a double exposure. And that's if we failed to wind to the next frame correctly, or you got to the end of the roll and you forgot to do the whole roll, wind the whole roll, then that frame would get exposed again. And then when you'd get your pictures developed, remember when you used to have to send your pictures away and then you'd pick them up and you'd get those pictures, and if you had a double exposure, you would see your picture, but then superimposed on top of your picture, there'd be another picture. Right? So there'd be one thing, but then there'd be another thing, and the whole picture would be confusing. You'd be like, yeah, that looks like Uncle Jim, but, you know, I don't know. There's also an elephant on his head. So it'd be a double exposure, a double exposure. And this is what happens when we live one way at church and another way at home. We're giving our kids two pictures on top of one another, and they get confused. Like, what am I really looking at here? And so we're not perfect as parents. We're never going to be perfect until Jesus comes back, and God doesn't call upon us to be totally perfect. God knows that we're fallen, but at the same time, God does demand that we have a sincere heart. Prepare the soil. Prepare the soil, the environment. So what kind of environment would we want to have in our homes? There's so many ways I could have talked about this, but what I thought of when I thought about a good home environment, I thought about the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. What a good description of the goal for a Christian home. So Galatians 5, 22 and 23, let's read this out loud together, beginning with the reference. We're going to have it right up here. There we go. Galatians 5, everybody together. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. What a wonderful picture of the environment that we want to create in our home. And I'll not go through all of these, just look at the first three. Of course, in our home, we want to have an environment of love. Our kids need to know just how much we love them, but how much the Lord loves them, and how our actions and words toward them represent the love of God to them. They need to know that they're loved, that they're cherished. And then joy. Your home needs to be full of joy and happiness. There should be laughter in your home. Come on, have a good sense of humor. And by the way, there should be joy in the house of God. Amen? Come on, it's not unspiritual to have fun at church. This should be a place of joy. If kids are being drugged to church where everybody they know is frowning and doesn't act like they really want to be there, guess what? When they don't have to go to church anymore, they're not going to go to church anymore. But if church is a happy place for them, a joyful place, and they're like, man, I can't wait to go to church because the happiest people I know go to my church, right? Church should be a joyful place, and your home should be a place of joy. And then let's talk about this third one, peace. Love, joy, and peace. Because everybody knows if you've got a house of middle schoolers and high schoolers, it's always constant peace. Constant peace. Now all of these things, by the way, they're what we're, I'm not saying we're there yet. They're just what we're shooting for, and at least God gives us something to shoot for, right? A lot of people don't even know where they're heading in life. Like, they don't even know what it's all about. But at least we know, even though we're not there yet, at least we know where we're heading, and we also know that God will help us get there. Love, joy, peace. And I'm here to say, I kind of made a joke about it, but I'm here to say to you today, peace in our lives is possible because Jesus said, my peace I leave you. We can have peace. And it starts right here. Starts in our marriages, and we can have peace. We can have peace in our homes. Not going to be easy. We got to contend for it, but we can have the peace of God. So love, joy, peace. Prepare the soil. Prepare the soil. And then, after we prepare the soil, that's when we plant the seed. Plant the seed. This is where the power of God's word comes in to play. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. It's the power of God's word. As Moses was preparing the Israelites to enter into the promised land, he laid some foundations for them. And one of the foundations that he laid to get them ready is he talked about the importance of faith and family. And in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6, Moses spelled this out for the people. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Moses wanted to make sure that the baton of faith got passed from generation to generation. And I want you to notice carefully in Moses' words here, he starts off by saying that these commands are to be on your hearts. So he starts with the parents. He starts with the parents. He said, first of all, before you can pass the baton to your children, these words of the Lord need to be impressed upon your own heart. They need to be on your heart. Before you can do anything to help your kids, it needs to be in your own heart first. And then, he says, then impress them upon your children. And he tells them to talk about them. Talk about the words of the Lord, not just at church, but throughout the day. Talk about the word of the Lord. Teach your kids. Ask your kids questions. Talk to your kids about spiritual matters. Moms and dads, I hope that at the very least, when your kids are old enough to understand what it means to have Jesus in their heart, you need to ask the question, have you asked Jesus into your heart? Have you had that conversation with your kids? Ask them how they're doing spiritually. How's your Bible reading? Do you have any questions about God? Do you have any questions about the Bible? Let me tell you what God's been teaching me. You need to open the door to have spiritual conversations with your kids. I want to just brag about one of our one of our families sitting right up here, Sam and Heather Gomberg. A few months ago, Sam and Heather had Janice and I over to their home. And when we walked through the doors, I noticed that on their sliding glass door, there was a bunch of writing. And they had written with a, I don't know what kind of marker, whatever. Yeah, with a dry erase marker. They had written all over their sliding glass door. And I thought, well, that's interesting, writing all over your door. And I got looking closer, and I thought, well, that looks kind of familiar. And then I realized this was the outline for the sermon that I had just preached that Sunday. The entire outline of my message was on their sliding glass door. And I thought, wow, first of all, you really paid attention in church. And so I asked them, what is this? And they said what they do is they take the Sunday message, they write it on their sliding glass door, and then throughout the week at dinner time, they just take, or whenever, they just take a little bit of the message at a time, and they talk about it with their kids. Impressing on their children the Word of God, right? And I'm telling you, that's planting the seed. Planting seed, planting seed, planting seed. Planting the seed of the Word of God. You got to keep planting that seed of the Word of God. Okay? And next, plant the seed, and then you got to protect the plant. Protect the plant. Because once a plant starts to grow, it's very vulnerable, and it needs to be protected. You know, if you plant some flowers or vegetables in your garden, there's all kinds of things that want to get to those plants, right? There's little insects and creepy crawlies and mildew and all kinds of things wants to get your snails, right? And they all want to get the. Yesterday, I was out in our backyard and I was kind of admiring my rose bushes. I thought, man, my rose bushes look great this year. And my daughter said something about how great the roses looked. And I just noticed there was a little place I wanted to clip off a couple of little buds that were growing on. So I get over there, I'm going to pull these buds off. And then I notice something moving on one of the leaves. And I start looking closer and closer, and I realize that my rose plant that from afar, I thought, man, that thing looks great. It had thousands and thousands of aphids all over it. Creepy, crawly, right? And I want you to know in the spirit realm, there's a predator out there. His name is the devil. And he's got a legion of demons. And he's after our kids. He's after our kids. Listen, you know me. I'm not the kind of person that believes that there's a demon behind every rock, but I have come to believe that there's a demon behind every other rock. They're there. They're there. Look at this, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Last week, our guest speaker, Michael McNamee. Now, Michael is obviously from Ireland, but Michael lives in Belgium. And he was sharing with me over dinner that there's a university in the city that he lives in Belgium. And this university, to attend there, not only are there the normal college requirements, but anybody who wants to attend university at this university in Michael's city has to sign a document declaring that they're an atheist. Unless you declare you're an atheist, you can't go to school there. Now listen, folks. Don't be foolish enough to believe that that couldn't happen here. It's happening all over the world. There is an enemy that is after the lives of our children. And we must defend and protect every day. Every day. And by the way, moms and dads, your kids aren't going to love every time you defend and protect their hearts, right? They're not going to, if you tell your kids, look, we're just not going to have that video game in our house, they're not going to go, oh, mom and dad, thank you so much. I am so thankful. I am so thankful for godly parents like you that are protecting my heart. didn't really want that stupid video game anyway. And no, your kids aren't going to always appreciate the fact that you're defending and protecting them, right? Listen, sometimes you're going to make your kids mad. Can I tell you something? They'll get over it. They'll get over it. I know this is a bold statement. I'm going to step on some toes today, but I believe this is a major issue. One of the things that is destroying our young people is that we have too many parents who need the approval of their children. Moms, dads, yeah, I love it when my kids are always happy with me. I love it. But my approval comes from the Lord, not my kids, right? You find your approval in the Lord, not your children. It's the only way you can be an effective parent. Prepare the soil, plant the seed, protect the plant, and then finally, provide the water. Provide the water. Throughout Scripture, water is a symbol, it's a picture of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will do in your child's life what you cannot do. The Holy Spirit softens the heart. The Holy Spirit brings conviction of sin. The Holy Spirit warns when there's danger. It's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does what we cannot do. And by the way, the Holy Spirit goes where we cannot go. There's going to be places you can't go with your kids everywhere, right? You're not going to be with your kids 24/7, but the Holy Spirit can be. The Holy Spirit goes everywhere and is with your kids all the time. So the Holy Spirit does what we cannot do. David wrote in Psalm 139, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle in the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast." This is what the Holy Spirit does. That's why, moms and dads, it's so important to pray for our kids. Pray for our kids. Sometimes as parents, we beat ourselves up because we can't be everything we want to be. Listen, you were not made to be everything for your kids. You cannot take the place of God in your kids' life. You just can't do it. Your kids need the Holy Spirit, and here's the deal. Not only do the kids need the Holy Spirit, moms and dads, we need the Holy Spirit. Grandmas and grandpas, in fact, every one of us, we all need the Holy Spirit. Right? And I'm standing here saying, I desire more of the Holy Spirit in my life than ever before. Because the Holy Spirit empowers us to do what we can never do in our own strength. Now, doesn't that sound like something a good parent needs? Right? Help doing things you could never do. I cannot be patient enough. I cannot be wise enough. I cannot be smart enough for my child. But I know who can. The Holy Spirit can. Amen? Holy Spirit, come. So I'm going to give you two things to close with here as we've been talking about being a farmer. And the first one is this. We must be patient. You've got to be patient. Be patient. I know some of you've been praying for your kids for a long time. Some of you have kids right now, they're going astray, and you're worried about them. I want to encourage you today, don't give up. Be patient. Be patient. Know that as you've invested in them, as you're praying for them, God's going to work in their life. Be patient. James chapter 5 and verse 7 says this, "Be patient then, brothers and sisters." Everybody say patient. "Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm." I think James is trying to make a point. He uses the word patient there three times in just a couple of verses. Just as a farmer has to be patient, so a Christian parent has to be patient. Have to be patient. Don't give up. Keep praying. Keep praying. Keep believing. Don't give up. Keep sowing seed. Keep watering. Be patient. Keep protecting. be patient. And then notice the very last part there, verse 8, you too be patient, and then do what else? Stand firm. Be patient and stand firm. Stand firm. In other words, we have to learn to fight for our kids. I want you to be a farmer, but I also want you to be a fighter. Be a farmer, be a fighter. Fight for your kids. Stand firm. Wednesday nights, we've been doing this great, great series with Priscilla Schreier on the armor of God. And we've been looking at this passage of Scripture. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Ephesians chapter 6. Ah! Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Remember this, parents. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. So farm and fight. 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 We're in a war. We're in a battle. We're in a war. Keep planting that seed. Keep planting that seed. You know, they say that the average home in America, not the average Christian home, there's four Bibles in the average home in America. In the average Christian home, there's 11 Bibles. Got a lot of Bibles. But at the same time, we also know that every single day, 700 people in our country, every day, 700 people read the Bible for the very last time. Every single day, 700 people decide this is the last time I'm going to read the Bible. 700 a day. We're in a spiritual battle. Some of these 700 people, they're our kids. They're our grandkids. They're turning away from the faith. Church, this is not a time for us to shrink back and give up. We got to fight for our kids. We got to fight. We got to fight. We got to fight. We got to stand. We got to stand. We got to not give up. We got to be patient. We got to know that God's working in their lives. And so this morning, I want to pray for you. And I'm going to pray for myself. I'm going to pray for a fresh infilling of God's Holy Spirit in our lives, that we can be the parents that God wants us to be. And I want to pray for our young people, that our kids are going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Listen, the kind of junk that our kids are faced with these days, the kind of garbage come into their lives, we're not going to win this war even by just bringing them to church. I mean, I'd like to think that my preaching's so great it's going to change anybody's life. I would love to think that. But can I tell you something? That ain't going to cut it. The only thing that changes a person's life is the power of God's Holy Spirit working in their life. The kind of junk that people find themselves engaged in, it's so powerful. It's so insidious. It's only the power of the Holy Spirit that can kick that junk out of their life. It's only the power of God. So let's pray today. Let's pray. Let's look to the Lord. Would you bow your hearts with me this morning, worship team, if you'd come on up? I want to pray for you right now. And before we pray, I just want to ask this. Or maybe you're here today and you know in your own life, whether you're an adult or a young person, you know that you personally, you're looking at your life and you know you've been kind of riding the fence. And the Holy Spirit's been just challenging you today, just saying, look, you need to make like a definite decision and stop riding the fence. You need to make a definite decision to be both feet in when it comes to Jesus, like all in. And so if you're here this morning and you just be honest enough to say, yeah, I've been a fence rider, I want you to know God loves you. He cares about you. Even if you've been riding the fence and even if you're full of doubts, God still loves you. All right? He hasn't turned his He hasn't forsaken you. He hasn't given up on you. You might have given up on God, but he hasn't given up on you. So if you're here today and you're just honest with God, would just say, man, I need to make a recommitment of my life to Christ. Or maybe for you, it's a first time commitment and you're just saying, I'm ready to go. Both feet in. I'm ready to go. I don't have all the answers. I'm not perfect, but I believe Jesus is the Son of God, that he died on a cross for me, and I'm ready to open my heart to him. I'm ready to turn away from the life I've been living and with God's help live a new life, making Jesus the center of my life. If that's you today, I want to just pray with you. I want to lead you in a prayer right where you're at. And I'm going to count to three. When I get to three, if you'd like to be included in this prayer, I want you to just raise your hand right up. Just raise your hand and just say, Tim, I want to be included in this prayer today. I want to open my life to Jesus Christ. If that's you today, you want to be included in this prayer. When I get to three, just raise your hand up. One, two, three. Yeah, awesome. Others today. God's just speaking to your heart. Yeah, awesome, awesome, very good, very cool. Yes, praise the Lord. Any others? Any others? I want to pray with those of you who've raised your hand. Anybody else before I pray? All right, I'm going to lead you in prayer right now. You can put your hands down. Would you just pray this prayer after me in church? Will you pray after those who've raised their hand today? Father in heaven, come on, all together. Father in heaven, I need you in my life. God, I ask for your forgiveness for trying to do it on my own. Lord, I believe you still love me and that you died on a cross for me and that you've risen from the dead. Lord, today I open the door of my heart and I invite you to come into my life. I invite you to be my Savior. And I invite you to be the Lord of my life, the leader of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Father, right now, I just want to thank you for those who raised their hand. And I also want to pray, God, for every parent in this place, all the moms and dads, all the grandparents that are praying for their kids that are wandering right now. God, I just want to agree together for prodigal sons and daughters to come home, Lord. God, that your Holy Spirit will do what we cannot do in their lives, that you would soften their heart, you would draw them back to yourself. And Father, we also pray for ourselves. Would you just ask the Holy Spirit right now, church? In fact, just would you lift your hands to the Lord right now? This is just kind of a posture of, it is a posture of just saying, Lord, I need you. I'm open to you. And so right now, would you ask the Holy Spirit to fill your life to overflowing. And it doesn't work any other way. It doesn't work to say, I'll just take a little bit. That's offensive to God. Say, God, you're in control. You're in control. Come and fill my life. Come and fill my life to overflowing. I give you all of me. I surrender to you. Holy Spirit, come. Saturate me. Fill me to overflowing. Empower me, God. Give me the power to do what I can't do in my own strength. God, the decisions that I can't make on my own, God. I pray, Lord, that I'd be led, God, in my, even my thinking would be led and guided by your Holy Spirit. And the words that come out of my mouth won't be mine anymore, but they'll be led by your Holy Spirit. God, I pray that the fruit of your Spirit would be evident in my life. God, the love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering, God, the patience, the self-control, everything that I need. Lord, the gentleness, God. Lord, it would be because I'm so filled up with you, Lord. Not because I come to church every week, but because I'm so filled up with your Holy Spirit, God. Hallelujah. Fill me, Lord. Change me, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let's worship the Lord together. Thank you, Lord.
Let's stand together.